And so we come to scripture, as Helen was alluding to this morning. We're reading from Revelation 21, verses 1 to 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." And in here we thank and praise God for his written word to us. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, as we have read from your word, so we pray that you would now speak to us by your Spirit. Help us to hear what you are saying to each one of us, individually and corporately as a church family. And help us to respond appropriately. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if we lived in a world where there is no crime, where there is no injustice, where nobody ever gets hurt, where nobody goes hungry, where nobody gets abused, but rather living in a world where everybody does what is right and loving? The world would be a radically different place than the one in which we find ourselves. You don't need me to tell you that we live in a world of severe pain and suffering. We live in a world where national leaders and politicians can twist and bend the truth to suit their own agendas. We live in a world where tyrannical leaders will bomb a peaceful people to satisfy their ambitions. We live in a world where there is so much sickness and disease. We live in a world where there is so much injustice and suffering. Now, as Christians, we know that we look forward to the day when the world will be put to right. But how exactly will it all work? Will all this happen in heaven? What is heaven all about? How should we understand God's big plan for his creation? These are huge questions for us to reflect on. And let's park these for a moment, because I want us to take our thoughts to a slightly different issue, though not at all unrelated. For a long time in ministry, one of the topics that I've spent a lot of time reading about and reflecting upon is around the question of what happens after death. You may remember a few years ago, our Bible study group and some of the Life Together groups did a study on Tom Wright's book, Surprised by Hope. And the reason why I wanted us to reflect on that material was to help us hear his teaching on it, and also to reflect on the questions that arise from that teaching, so that we would have something, hopefully, of a clearer understanding of these issues. He has a lovely quote in his book: "I believe in life after death." Hold on to that quote for a moment. We'll come back to that later. Because obviously when we're faced with the issue of mortality, whether that be our own mortality or of that of a loved one, there's many questions and thoughts that people have around it. And the conclusion I've come to is that many people, even some Christians, do not yet have a clear understanding of heaven and eternity. And the lectionary reading in Revelation 21 takes us to this issue. So we're going to reflect upon it and address it this morning. For many people, our belief about heaven doesn't come so much from the Bible as it does from the influences of society and culture. When we think of the future and eternity, we couch it in the term heaven. And that's understandable, and that's fine. But you know as well as I do, people have wonderful and weird thoughts about what heaven is all about. So people reduce their idea of heaven to something like sitting on a cloud, wearing a little halo, with little angels playing their harps on clouds near you. Others might see it as an unending church service or singing hymns for all eternity. Mind you, some people might think that listening to a sermon of mine might be the other place rather than heaven, but I don't know. Some people might think of heaven as something of a retirement celestial city. We have weird and wonderful ideas of heaven. The first thing I want to say, however, and it might seem a little strange, is actually there's very little in the Bible about going to heaven when you die, quote unquote. And actually there's very little in the Bible about going to the other place as well when you die. Many people think that heaven is our ultimate and eternal dwelling place. And sadly, some of our older hymns just perpetuate this myth. Heaven is not our eternal dwelling place. God's new creation is our eternal dwelling place. And that is fundamental in the faulty theology that we sometimes come up with. I simply ask the question, if people say, oh no, heaven is the ultimate dwelling place. If heaven is the ultimate dwelling place, where does the resurrection of the body fit into your theology? The resurrection of body is a central tenet in the Christian faith. And then people go, oh yes, I don't know how that fits in. Because God will bring heaven and earth together in his new creation and make everything perfect as it was intended to be. One of the passages we often read at funeral services is John 14:1-6. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places." Sometimes you might have a translation, many rooms or many mansions. The Greek term that is used is significant. It's mene, and it doesn't mean a final resting place. It means a temporary place which you go for rest and refreshment that will take you to the final resting place. This then fits closely with what Jesus said to the thief on the cross: "Today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise isn't the final destination. It is where you go to enjoy rest. It's the blissful garden, the parkland of peace and tranquility. where those who have died are refreshed as they await the dawn of the new day, when the new heaven and new earth are joined. And this is what Revelation 21 is all about. Now, part of the misconception is bound in the term kingdom of heaven. When Jesus used this term, he wasn't talking about the place we go to when we die. Jesus used the term kingdom of heaven in the same way he spoke about the kingdom of God. It's the place where God's sovereign rule is coming on earth as in heaven. The term was simply changed because Jews couldn't utter the name of God, so the word heaven was used as a substitute, but it means the same thing. So rather than thinking of eternity as heaven being the ultimate resting place when we die, we need to refocus our understanding and talk about eternity as the renewal of God's creation. This is where Tom Wright's quote in Believing in Life After Death comes in. Because the early Christians held firmly to a two-step belief about the future. First of all, death and resting in heaven where God is, so we can say our loved one who has died is in the nearer presence of God in heaven. We use that language, and that is good and proper and right. But second part is a new bodily existence in the newly remade creation. I don't know exactly what these new bodies will look like, but they will be appropriate for God's new creation. I could be very, very facetious and say, I don't know how God's going to better this, but I'm sure he will. We will have new bodies for this new creation. Our resurrection bodies. This is the hope of Easter for God's people. In other words, when we say that life will go on after death, we need to understand this in the context of our resurrection body within the new heaven and new earth. God, from Genesis through to Revelation, is about creation. And then it's about new creation. In Revelation 21, there are some images that come to us that help us in our understanding of God's new creation, because that is God's big plan for the whole of the world. God is in the process of making everything new. Verse 6, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And in Romans 8, we have this promise concerning the earth. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. God's big plan is about the renewal of God's creation, when God will make everything new again. And in making it new and perfect, we read about what life will be like in this new creation. Verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things will be gone forever. This is where there is for us the message of hope. That's why what we see and experience in this world is not the last word. We know all of us experience heartbreak and sadness and sorrow and pain and ultimately death. But in God's new creation, there will be none of these things. It will be a place of righteousness. All the wrongs of the world will be made right. It will be a place where everything evil is absent and everything good is present. Everything sad will be gone and only joy will exist. Everything disappointing will vanish. Everything exciting will appear. Everything depressing will be gone. Everything hopeful will come. Everything violent and hateful will be gone. Everything born out of love will prevail. Every unfaithfulness will be in the past, and steadfast loyalty will be in the present. Everything detestable will be gone. Everything desirable will abide with us. Every sickness will be gone, and complete wholeness will take over our lives. Everything false will disappear. Everything good and true will prevail. The prophet Isaiah, writing several hundred years before Jesus, said, "Look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will even think about the old ones anymore." Even through the prophets of the Old Testament, God was setting out to his creation, "This is what I am planning to do." The corrupted, fallen world in which we live will be gone, and God will restore it to the way it was meant to be at the very beginning, unspoilt by human sin. God's big plan is the story of his kingdom being launched on earth as in heaven, generating a new state of affairs in which the power of evil has been defeated and the new creation has been launched, and Jesus' followers have been commissioned and equipped to put that victory in that inaugurated new world into practice. So for us as God's people, this isn't just something we look forward to in the future. This is something in which we get on board in the here and now. The new creation was begun in the resurrection of Christ. And as God's people, we now play a part in that. Our job is to get the world to be ready for God's new creation. God invites us to play our part in the here and now. And if we're going to play our part, then we must follow the way of the cross. And if we're to benefit from Christ's saving death, we must become a part of God's kingdom project. So when the hungry are fed, when the naked are clothed, when the thirsty are given clean water to drink, when there is love and kindness and compassion, these are all signs of the kingdom of God in the present. A picture of what life will be like in the future when the new creation is full and complete. This is the reason why Revelation 21 is the lectionary reading in the season of Easter. Because this is the message of Easter. Jesus is raised, so he is the Messiah, and therefore he is the world's true Lord. Jesus is raised, so God's new creation has begun, and we, his followers, have a job to do. Jesus is raised, so we must act as his heralds, announcing his lordship to the entire world, making his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Many of us lament about the state of the world today, and rightly so. It's just awful. Wouldn't it be great if the world was different to what it is now? Most right-minded people, regardless of any religious belief or being agnostic or whatever, will desire to live in a better world. Our Christian belief is that a better world is coming, and we can play our part in the here and now, however small and insignificant that might seem to us. And God's promise is that the world will be a better place, indeed, a perfect place to live, because God is in the process of redeeming his creation, ultimately bringing heaven and earth together to make all things new. Amen.